Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The American Black Film Festival will go virtual for the first time this weekend. At least one television series pilot will be in the mix. F.A.M. Creator and lead actor Anthony Williams joins me next. Another weekend event is Love in the Time of Corona, Freeform's two-night miniseries about relationships conducted amid a pandemic cloud. Catch an inter-radio exclusive interview with creator and executive producer Dwight Johnson next half hour. Also ahead, Peacock Club Sports Talk and our classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 2 free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy you're with us on this special midweek edition of the program all about TV's current and future. 70 degrees, that's right, 70 degrees is out the hour here in New York. We had some rain earlier in the day. Still gray skies overhead, and that's the way it went. We thought it was going to be mid-80s. Nope, weather do change, as a former weathercaster once said. We're delighted you are with us. Two wonderful guests coming your way over the course of the next 60 minutes, and we invite you to be interactive with them. All you have to do, pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And after some craziness on our episode Monday, our chat room is back in business. It's SimonApple04, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people do live with you. Anthony Williams from FAN, live with us from Westchester County, New York. After these news notes, our first news note, like our last one, first one of Monday's show, all about sports. A service inside a service. That's what you can call NBC Sports' new 24/7 channel, Tuck into Peacock, starting Monday morning. Daytime hours will feature sports talk series from The Dan Patrick Show to newbie Brother from Another. Primetime will be a mix of live events and game replays. Earlier, Peacock launched a channel featuring talent and subject matter from NBC's Today program. Universal Content Productions will launch a talent incubator designed to find and nurture Latino talent and TV concepts. Vita creator Tanya Saraccio will oversee the incubator as part of a content development team with UCP. Saraccio also will develop podcasts for the NBC Universal Unit's growing audio business. We hope to try to get Tanya on this program maybe as early as next week and talk about this very neat deal. It's both program development and this talent incubator, which has even more consequences for the medium. Now some quickies. 3 episodes was all needed for Apple TV Plus to renew Jason Sudeikis' starring comedy, Ted Lasso. 10 episodes are planned for 2021. No shift in judges next season for American Idol on ABC. Ryan Seacrest remains the host. Warrior Nun will get a second season on Netflix. And 6.1 million people watched broadcast coverage of the Democratic National Convention last night. That is a 7% uptick from Monday night, but it's still way below the broadcast audience 4 years ago, 2016. And that is news notes for today. Over the years, we have showcased many of not only a TV festival, but a film festival that incorporates television. One of those is the American Black Film Festival. It used to be held here in New York, and in recent years in Miami, but for the first time because of the pandemic virus, it is being held in a virtual basis starting this weekend and rolling into next week. There will be a lot of interesting panels dealing with television over the course of that time, and very few television pilots will be screened. We're going to showcase one of them right now. It's called FAM. Joining us to talk about it from South Salem, New York, that's in Westchester County, the creator and lead actor, Anthony Williams. Anthony, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Talk about FAM. What does that stand for?
Yeah, so we call it FAM, but FAM stands for Family Always Matters.
And what is the pilot all about?
Okay, so it's a father fighting to maintain the tangled web of relationships he's woven between 3 women, his sexy wife, his Hellcat ex, and his bi-curious teen daughter. At ABFF Film Festival, we will be in the Pride section. That's short films, TV pilots that deal with LGBTQI issues, and that's the section that we're in, and it's going to be online starting this Friday through the 30th.
Now, how did it get into the festival in the first place? Because I believe that right now they do not have, unlike other festivals like Tribeca here in New York and others around the country, film festivals I'm talking about, they do not have a special category just for TV series. Some have web series, but this one does not have one for TV series.
Correct. So as a creator, you have to learn to adjust to those type of rules and regulations. So as long as within a certain time period, and for the Pride section, and I do have Pride content as part of my show, it just had to be under 30 minutes. So I can submit it as a short film as long as it's under 30 minutes, or if they have an episodic section, like you said, of the other festivals, that I can submit it straight as a pilot. But either way, it's still a pilot, but I also submitted a short film. I've won Best Short Film. We've won Best Short Film at several other film festivals, including the Capital City Black Film Festival, which is Viola Davis sponsors that film festival as well. So it's had success as a short film, as a pilot, but no matter how I wrap it up, it's always a TV pilot.
How did you come up with Fam? Did it come out of something personal, either to you or someone you know? How did the pilot get underway?
Yeah, so the TV pilot started as just a short film about a conversation that, one, I had with my daughter about sexuality, and also that I had with my father about sexuality. And his response to my question was kind of harsh. You know, this is the early 90s. And I just remembered when I had kids, I was going to make sure that they knew this was a nice, open conversation, and whatever they wanted to do with their lives that they could do. And so I was kind of put together a pilot that showed a father being more empathetic to the situation of a child not knowing how they felt sexually and where they're going to go, and at the same time incorporating real things from my life as far as having a child with someone that's not my wife, having an ex who had to deal with my wife, and partnering at the same time. So it was a lot of elements of my real life, and then some things added to make it more entertaining.
Was there a particular conversation you had with your daughter that really stimulated you in putting this together?
Yeah, it was just her question of, you know, who would love me if I was bi? Who would love me if I was gay? How would you feel differently? And to be honest with you, a lot of people assume just from that part of the show that, okay, well then in this show his daughter's going to be gay. That's not necessarily the case. I had similar conversations with my father just because I heard, you know, people talk and talk about different lifestyles, and I was just curious how he would react if I was. Doesn't necessarily mean I was leaning that way. And I think knowing some friends that happen to be gay, and they tend to reflect and hold true that first conversation with their parents forever. And I feel like as parents, it's important for us to be very empathetic and to be very cautious how we talk to our kids when they breach that subject, because you only get one shot at the response. And 2 days later, 2 months later, 2 years later, you could feel differently, but they're going to always hold on to that first response. So this is kind of like a tale of, you know, how to be careful and I think the right way to try to be more understanding of the youth, because it's a totally different day and age when it comes to sexuality today than it was in the late 80s and early 90s when I was growing up.
Anthony Williams is our first guest this midweek on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. He joins us live from South Salem, New York. That's in Westchester County. And he is the creator and lead actor of FAM. It's one of a few TV series pilots that will be presented virtually this weekend and beyond at the latest American Black Film Festival, an event that used to be presented live here in New York in recent years in Miami. Incidentally, we wanted to have the head of the festival with us. He was with us before a number of years ago. Unfortunately, his schedule did not permit him to be on our program today. If you have a question or comment for Anthony, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find that at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Starting up three episodes we're doing this week, and we'll be back on Friday at this very hour. And joining us will be the executive producer and showrunner of the popular Netflix series Trinkets, which next week will go into its final season. Sarah Goldfinger will be with us. And then we'll meet a pair of former film executives, one from History Channel, one from MTV, who decided, let's make our own shows. And they got together and formed a production company, and one of their efforts will be starting Friday night on Discovery Channel. It's called 100 Days Wild. We'll talk to Julian Hobbs and Ellie Hakami. They are the executive producers of that program, and they'll be with us live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Anthony, how long did it take for your pilot to go from idea in your head to getting it before a camera?
Yeah, so from the time I got it down in a script fashion, I got with Kyle Romanek, who's the director who I've done three other films with, and Sean Morris Berry. We've done three other films prior to this one. Sean wrote one, and Kyle wrote the other two. And so it was my turn to write something. So it took about 6 months for us to gear up, and then we shot it in Atlanta, Georgia. I know Kyle and Sean were out in L.A., so we had 4 days to actually shoot the project. We had zero room for error because so many people were coming from out of town. Mallory Cunningham came on as a producer. Both Kyle Romanek and Mallory Cunningham, both Emmy winners in their own rights through cinematography and production with the OWN network. So we couldn't have a day where we would lose a day or if a actor didn't show up. So we had to really hedge all of our bets for that 4 days. But it took 6 months from writing it down to getting it in the bag, and then an additional 3 months in order to get it edited and to final copy and creation. So probably 9 months from thought to on the big screen at a film festival.
And how long did it take to cast it, at least cast the lead roles among yourself?
Yeah, so Moses Jones is an actor in Atlanta. He's been in Barbershop and a lot of other TV movies and things of that nature. He played the best friend, Chris, on the show, fam. And he helped me cast it as well as obviously the director. But that took about 3 to 4 weeks of casting. We were very lucky to get Atlanta talent. It was a SAG production, so we got SAG actors. And if they weren't SAG, they became SAG eligible because of FAM. So when we casted it on Actors Access and did a virtual EcoCast, and when we brought people in Atlanta to do face-to-face auditions.
Mm-hmm. How did you tailor your character and try to connect as soon as possible with the rest of the cast?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the me tailoring to my character wasn't too hard because it's based loosely on my life. But I did have to dig deep because in the beginning of the pilot, it shows me in my early 20s, kind of a womanizer, kind of just living that lifestyle in college and going back to how I thought back then and some of the verbiage that I would never use now I had to go back and use. And I wanted to show the progression of a male between college and then having his own daughter and being married, how you think of women changes throughout that time. As far as connecting with the cast, like Casey Lee, who stars as Olivia, the daughter, did an amazing job. We would go to the movies together. We would hang out. I talked to her about her boyfriends before we got to set. Chris, the one who played Chris, Moses Jones, we would go out for chicken wings and hang out like buddies before. And so by the time Kyle got to Atlanta to shoot, I mean, everybody pretty much had their role. The ex-girlfriend, Tracy, played by Brianna Simone, we were arguing every day over little stuff and bickering. So Candace West, who played the wife, we hung out quite a bit as well. Everybody kind of fell into that role so that when we rode camera, we didn't have to do a lot of work because Kyle's time was limited once he got to Atlanta in that 4-day spectrum. But I would say anytime you're doing an independent project, try to get the cast together as much as possible to interact before you start shooting and rehearsing because it saves so much time on set and from the festivals we've been through, the chemistry shows through.
Did you give or the director give the rest of the cast any ideas about how to play their character, especially when they are characters that are connecting directly with you?
Yeah, so we had breakdowns of emotions. We had backstories. Acacia Lee met my daughter, who was, I think, 14 at the time. They had lunch, just really the blended family aspect and how she felt about it. Candace West met my wife to understand where she was coming from. I had lots of talks with Brianna. So definitely these are all real people, and then the story is loosely based off these real people, but definitely did a deep dive in what was expected. And then I let them – gave them some leeway. Brianna did some great moments that weren't exactly real, but they were great for the show. Casey Lee the same way. So I still gave the actors the leeway to be entertaining while staying within the characters that we developed together.
Mm-hmm. Was there a particular scene – that really hit home for you?
Oh, man, there's so many great scenes. Everyone loves the scene with the daughter talking about sexuality, but I love the scene where Moses Jones is talking to Candace Weston about being a father and doing an exchange, as he calls it, dropping off his daughter with his ex. So I think there's a lot of blended families out there, but the articulation of what it's like to have a child, not be with the other parent, and then have to hand over your flesh and blood child to somebody that you really don't deal with anymore is very painful. And so seeing that on screen, I've had a lot of people come up to me, especially men, saying, hey, you know, I never really heard it said that way before, but, you know, that's a really tough scene to watch because it's very difficult. Co-parenting sounds really cool in L.A. and all the actors do it, but in real life, it's very painful, it's hurtful, and it's something I wanted to show that people of all races go through. When I worked at GE and Firestone and corporate America, these executives have exes and they have children from other relationships, and it's no different in the African-American community. I just felt on TV it was shown as a more ghetto and negative connotation rather than the co-parenting that we would see in upper-class families or middle-class families in those TV shows. So I just wanted to show an African-American family trying to do it the right way and co-parenting, and that's the best scene, I think, as far as what really kind of tugged on my heartstring, and Moses Jones did a great job articulating from a friend's perspective what I was going through.
Georgia, especially Atlanta, has become one of the great production centers in television. It was hit very hard, of course, by the pandemic. It looks like it's coming back. Tyler Perry has had no problems getting his studios back up and running. He's been now filming or taping his shows for BET and BET Plus. Family Feud is coming back, I believe, next week or the week after, start taping its episodes in the fall without a studio audience. What was it like to get your show produced? Did you have any issues with the pandemic?
No. Thankfully, we shot this before the pandemic happened. Being SAG, if this was being shot now, we would have to have more budget to allot for testing. I read the other day from the Screen Actors Guild as a producer, they give us updates, and you have to have 3 tests per week for every member of the cast and crew. So I'm not sure how much every test costs, but, you know, that's something that you'd have to do. I was actually at Tyler Perry Studios in March 3rd, right before they shut down. They shut down the second week of March. He has a TV show on Nickelodeon called Young Dylan that I was guest starring on. So, but he's been doing a great job. I've heard they're all kind of like an NBA bubble. That's what Tyler Perry has. He's got his bubble. He's rocking and rolling, and hopefully Hollywood, L.A., and New York can follow suit and get the testing right and get back to work here soon.
In case you haven't heard, Tyler Perry yesterday was announced that the TV Academy is going to give him a special award, a special Primetime Emmy Award this year, probably during the Creative Arts Ceremony, not during the actual presentation on ABC hosted by Jimmy Kimmel and crew. Maybe that might change. We'll see. We are speaking with Anthony Williams, the creative lead actor of FAN, one of the few TV series pilots that started this weekend to be presented at the annual American Black Film Festival, first time virtual edition. He joins us live from South Salem, New York, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment for him in our remaining minutes with him, well, give us a call. Be interactive with him and us. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up later this hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We are still looking for our first correct answer to it, so you might be the opportunity to win and become our latest winner, our fifth one in about the last 6.5-7 weeks. And if you do, you get a book prize. So more about that toward the top of the hour. Anthony, you mentioned that before ABFF, you have screened this at other film and TV festivals, including the one that Viola Davis sponsored. What's been the reaction so far?
Yeah, it's been really amazing, and I think it's really given me the guts to go and forth. I recently got an entertainment lawyer and a showrunner to start pitching this to networks. People coming up to me saying things. Feedback has been, you know, I haven't seen a black father with a daughter like this in quite some time. It's so positive yet so entertaining. They love the music, Childish Gambino. We got the rights to the song Redbone, which we won a Grammy for, and included in that. So it's kind of an upbeat feel to all these film festivals. But the reaction has been, you know, when can I see the next episode? What network is it going to be on? It's been great. But, I mean, now with being in ABFF, it gives us another level of status when we sit down with own BET, HBO, because they know we've taken part of such a big film festival. So for any black TV film, pilot, short film, ABFF is always the goal. So we're very blessed and feel blessed and highly favored to be a part of it. And when it starts on Friday, hopefully we'll get some more positive feedback, especially with it being online. People all over the world will be able to see Sam in their living rooms.
You've got so many venues to turn this pilot into a series for. Are you getting any nibbles? Or is there a particular, you know, service that you would like to have this on, whether it's a broadcast network, whether it's like a Netflix to Amazon, a mega service like Peacock, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus? Where do you see it going?
You know, I'm staying open. For some reason, I always think OWN. I see OWN as kind of a hybrid between BET and HBO. HBO is one of the sponsors of the festivals. I would love it to go there. But you're right, though. It doesn't have to be on cable TV. So many people stream nowadays. There's so many different avenues. My goal is just to get in front of as many people as possible, find out who wants African-American positive content with LGBTQ issues, with a young African-American family. But most importantly, I think what makes FAM a little bit different, it's not about LGBTQ and it's not about being black. It's about a family and family issues and being a blended family. And we don't circle our narrative around the fact that it's a subculture of people or that deals with this LGBTQ issue. And I think sometimes nowadays in age, we just drive home that one aspect of the show, and we try to make sure we blended everything to keep entertaining. But you're right. There's so many different facets. We're taking meetings. We're sending out press kits. I'm not sure where we're going to land, but I'm sure we're going to line up with someone who wants to push the narrative and the culture forward and have a positive minority TV show, and that's what I'm pushing.
How do you want to develop FAM as a series? As you were talking about it, one that came to mind, speaking of OWN, is David Makes Man. The series that started last year from Terrell Al McCready, the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight. The show got sensational reviews. I think it was one of the best shows of last summer. And won the Peabody Award this year.
So I've already have 8 episodes laid out. I already have the Bible. It's going to go through Olivia, the daughter, dating in high school. There are some race issues because it's a white suburb. There's issues with Trey at work. He owns a car dealership, and what he between that balancing his wife and his ex-girlfriend having other relationships, how his daughter deals with the ex having a boyfriend. Pretty much any aspect of being in corporate America while trying to keep your family afloat with different aspects of the family being blended, and we're just going to go on this journey together. And I really just see it as one of those type of shows where you keep asking yourself, how would I react in this situation? If my ex-wife, ex-girlfriend just came barging in my house while I'm there with my wife and child, how would I react to that situation? If my daughter came to me and wanted to talk to me about boys and the next day wanted to talk to me about girls, how would I react in that situation? So I really think it's going to be a journey and a lot of different types of reaction to it, because I'm going to keep putting the audience in situations where they can go one of 3 ways, and not everybody's going to agree with what we do with it, but it should be very entertaining in the decisions that we make.
I want to welcome Dreamkiller 06 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04. My name, thank you for joining us. And if you have a question or comment for our guest or for our guest coming up in the next half hour, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. I mentioned that the American Black Film Festival right now does not have a specific category for TV series. Is there a groundswell, not just among you, but other producers of color, creators of color, to have ABFF, the Viola Davis-sponsored festival you talked about earlier, maybe other film festivals, whether they are specifically aimed at people of color, producers of color or not, like Urban World, to have TV pilot competitions and showcase that in a bigger way?
I wish there was. I think you're seeing that, but in the form of short-form content, right? So there is a web series portion to ABFF. There is a web series portion to Urban World. And I think one of the barriers to entry for full long-form TV pilots is the cost of production and the assumption that it costs $1 million to shoot a 30-minute TV pilot or an hour-long TV pilot. We were able to do it on a shoestring budget. And we did everything we could to keep the quality up. But I think you're seeing it with the web series, and I think there will start to become more of a demand for long form in the next coming years. So I think it's coming. I just don't think you're quite ready for it yet. Right now it's the web series is given that episodic feel, but it's at the short form level right now.
Dreamkiller 06 in our chat room has two questions for you. Number one, what was the hardest part of filming, Sam? And secondly, what is next for you, whether or not this becomes a series?
Okay, so the hardest part of filming, Sam, is me and my team made a mistake. We had to let go of a sound guy right before we shot filming, and he already had our call sheet. The call sheet is in production. It's got all of your locations, your times, and everything. Because we had to let him go right before we shot, he sent the police, Screen Actors Guild, and the production guild after us at every location. So the police were at every location before we got there. The Screen Actors Guild came to our house, my house, and checked on the production of it, which is very rare for a short film that's 30 minutes that's independently produced. And getting through the 4 days with no room for error, Kyle Romanek, Mal Cunningham did a great job dealing with that. So having to tiptoe through police officers, we have a scene where a police officer is coming at the main character, and that's a real police officer who came to shut down our set, and Kyle Romanek talked him into actually being a part of it. So when you got a tight budget, you have to do everything you can. The show must go on, and sometimes that means somebody talking to the police while you finish the scene and then move on to the next location. So that was the toughest thing, was having SAG and everybody try to shut us down. As far as what's next for me, I have another TV pilot called with Moses Jones called The Joneses, and that's a TV sitcom that I have written that I'm shopping right now to agencies. And I have another TV show that's an hour-long drama called Sir. So continuing writing and producing. But with Sam, I mean, I'll probably still produce the next two episodes, even if I have to do it independently, turn it into a 90-minute film, and go right back out on the festival circuit, and hopefully by then we'll get picked up into a series. But I really, with the feedback I've had in the 47 festivals, the 5 countries that we've been to, I believe this is going to stick somewhere. I think ABFF will be the catalyst to get us there.
And Dreamkiller 06, thank you very much for both questions. We appreciate the answers from Anthony. Again, the pilot is SAM, and it starts to be shown virtually this weekend at the American Black Film Festival's first ever edition of That Way. It used to be in New York, then in Miami the last couple of years. Now it's going virtual, and I hope that next year, pandemic extinction willing, that it will come back and be live and in person with a lot of great people in the mix. If you want to know more about the festival, here's where you go online, www.abff.com. That's www.abff.com. And again, we did invite the head of the festival, Jeff Fry, to be with us. Unfortunately, his schedule would not permit it, but I hope he will come on down the road. And I hope that down the road, this festival and other festivals aimed at people of color will have a television aspect to it. But just to film, to do television. Why not? It's another great way to expand the pot for diversity in the medium. Anthony Williams, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on Sam getting into the festival. All the very best with it. Keep us posted about the series and the other projects you're doing, and we would love to have you back anytime, no matter what.
Thank you so much for your time, and stay blessed. Thank you.
You too. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Anthony Williams from FAM joining us live from South Salem, New York in Westchester County. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of the big movies to come in 2021 is Where the Crawdads Sing. It's the adaptation of the best-selling book by Delia Owens. And if you haven't read the book, well, you now have an opportunity to hear the book. How? Get a trial run, 1 month trial, in Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and they list them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Twitter Radio, or iHeartRadio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Simple as that. You get 2 free audiobooks, one from the entire catalog, and one from the growing number of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, and best one-woman and one-man performances. Plus, you get special health and wellness material for a limited time only, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So how about having this week be the week you or someone you love realize that Audible.com can really transform the way you hear the world? For those 2 audiobooks and 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up in our next half hour, the key person with the Fosters and Good Trouble on ABC Family and Freeform is with us, Joanna Johnson. Her latest work, it happens this weekend and it may set a Guinness record for a miniseries done in record time, especially in light of the pandemic we're all dealing with. It's called Love in the Time of Corona. It's on Freeform this weekend. And she is with us live, asking for us at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com/TuneInRadio, together reaching over 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, TuneIn.com and TuneIn Radio is your home for the coronavirus news channel, up-to-the-minute reports on what's going on with the pandemic all across the globe, plus podcasts, other original material as well. So stay informed about the coronavirus news channel on TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise, our special midweek edition. Second of three shows we're doing this week, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Time out with my lady live from the Big Apple, 70 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment for our next guest, make that call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, man, Dreamkiller 06, still in the room. This weekend, Freeform is presenting what may be its most unique miniseries ever. It's called Love in the Time of Corona. It was all filmed on location with the actors playing their roles inside, for the most part, their homes because of the coronavirus pandemic. It's a program that comes from the mind of someone who has been a major player in the world of family television. For ABC Family, she put together five seasons with others of The Fosters, the award-winning series also executive produced by Jennifer Lopez. Then came the spinoff Good Trouble, which is now in its third season on Freeform. Joining us live in the Internet Radio Exclusive, the creator executive producer of Love in the Time of Corona, we welcome back Joanna Johnson. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to have you back. It's a pleasure. I'm doing very, very well. And the sun, since your voice popped up, the sun has finally come out here in New York. We've had rain all day and gray skies, and luckily sun is out. Joanna, is this miniseries going to get a Guinness record for shortest time produced?
I think it must be. We got the green light on May 1st, and we were shooting in July, and now we're airing next weekend. So, yeah, I think it's the fastest thing, this scripted show that's probably been done.
What provoked this?
Well, I was working with my writers virtually for The Trouble, and I was talking to my manager one day about quarantine and her experiences, and she was virtually dating some guy that she hadn't met in person. And we started talking about how this time was making people really kind of reexamine the relationships they had and the relationships they wished they had. And there were some wonderful articles about people's stories that they were sharing, blogs, and she said, you know, it would make a great show. And I said, I think it would. You should go pitch it somewhere. And she said, why don't you do it? And so I kind of thought of some story areas, and I sent an email to Lauren Correo at Freeform, and I said, hey, would you guys be interested in doing this show and shooting it in the actor's home during this time? And to my delight and surprise, in some ways, she said, let's do it. And so a week later, after my email, they greenlit it, and we were off to the races.
Mm-hmm. What's the key theme that you and your crew want the public to see out of this? I understand from Lauren that she wanted this to be something that would, in a quirky, humorous way, would show how these four couples are dealing with this pandemic. That, yes, there's a lot of fear. Yes, there's a lot of, we've got to adjust to a lifestyle we never thought we would ever deal with, the masks, the social distancing, and so forth. But you get a sense watching the clips that there is a bit of a humorous side. There is opportunity in the face of this pandemic to really be with people.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, what this show is really about is sort of about the effect of quarantine on relationships. It's not so much about the virus itself as much as what this time has made us all reflect upon and value, and the things that have been funny, you know, I mean, the going to the grocery store, you know, which, you know, you're like, in the beginning, you know, you felt like you were going to war, you know, you just didn't know what to expect, and just how much we didn't know in the beginning, and just the fact of people being, you know, together more than they're used to being together. Even married people, I thought that, you know, there was definitely humor as well as humanity in exploring that.
Mm-hmm. How quickly did the idea gel into a script, then to get the cast, then to get the crew, and then to put it all on film?
What was really difficult, you know, I came up with story areas really quickly. That was maybe in a matter of hours. I just thought of different dynamics that I thought would be interesting. But then what we had to do is we had to cast it first before I could write any scripts, because we had to see who was quarantining together. You know, what actors were living and in each other's quarantine circle. And we needed various dynamics. And because I wanted to do a story about people that were actually quarantined together, not necessarily just single people that were only communicating through Zoom, I really didn't want to do that kind of show. So we had to reach out to all the agents and say, hey, do you have any sisters quarantining together? Because I had a story about sisters that I wasn't able to cast. Do you have a family quarantining together that all act? Do you have a couple quarantining together? And so it took a while to get those lists together. And then what I did was I met with actors and I pitched the storylines over Zoom to them, but I didn't have scripts yet because I had to have them sign on first before I could commit to writing the actual stories. So it's completely backwards of how you normally do things. And so, you know, it took us probably a few weeks to really get it cast. And then I put together a small writer's room and we really wrote the scripts in 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So that was all really fast to write 4 episodes in that amount of time. Yeah, and then we were shooting in July and airing now.
So there's basically a space of 2 or 3 months. And along the way, Joanna, one of the interesting things about, as you said, is that much of this miniseries is shot where the actors live, where they live by themselves, live with a family, live as a couple. Once you got the actors, what did you say to them about dealing with their home, dealing with, here's where we're going to put the cameras, how should your rooms look, how should your patio look, how should everything outside your door look, in order to make this as realistic as possible, but also you don't want to have like pigsties?
Yeah, well, luckily none of the actors lived in pigsties. Actually, they all have beautiful homes, which we just were really lucky. I mean, they're gorgeous, and they shot beautifully. You know, all we really did was, you know, we would do a virtual scout where the actors would walk around with, you know, FaceTime and show us their homes. And only really in a few places did we have to augment things that they needed. Like, for instance, Leslie and Nicolette, you know, were still kind of moving in some ways, so they needed help with getting some stuff on the walls. We were able to, our production designer was able to do that. And, you know, we sent some plants to people, and we sent some things. But for the most part, it's exactly what they have in their home. And we were lucky that they had beautiful homes to shoot in.
We're speaking with Joanna Johnson. Then, if the name is familiar, I'm sorry, go ahead, Joanna.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I don't know if I answered your question about actually, you know, dropping the cameras off at their homes, but if you want to, I could talk about that.
Okay, we will in a second. But first, for those people who just came in, you should know that we are speaking with Joanna Johnson. Some of you know her as one of the key people behind The Fosters, the long-running series that started in ABC Family, went to Freeform the last couple of years, the spinoff, Good Trouble. And now she is the creator and executive producer of Love in the Time of Corona. It's Freeform's new miniseries that it will be on both Saturday and Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joanna joins us live this half hour in an interview-exclusive interview on Tomorrow will be televised. Pat Applebaum with you live from the other part of New York, or I should say the U.S. of A, known as New York, where it's 70 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Joanna? Well, make the call. Start ringing 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have one more episode of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way. It's on Friday. Joining us will be the executive producer and showrunner of the popular Netflix series Trinkets, which next week begins its final season on the air, Sarah Goldfinger. And then we'll speak with two former Corona executives, one from History Channel, one from MTV. A couple, some time ago, decided, let's get together and do some TV shows. Well, one of them is going to be on the air on Discovery Channel on Friday night called One Hundred Days Wild. Julian Hobbs and Ellie Hakami. They're both with us live, 3 days to New Pacific Friday, along with Sarah Goldfield from Trinkets, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So what about the dropping of the cameras? How did that work?
So what we did was we would drop the cameras off the day before we were going to shoot in their homes. And we would let them sit for 24 hours, wipe them down, make sure they're sanitized. And then the actors would bring them into their homes. And both the cameras were on small kind of dollies where they could kind of be rolled around. And we would basically tell them, our DP, Marco Finelli, who's a genius, would basically, you know, tell them, you know, roll it over here, roll it over there. And we could control them remotely from outside. So we were all outside their homes, our very small crew, because we weren't allowed to have many people. We're outside, you know, communicating to them inside. And I was directing over walkie-talkie. And our DP could control one of the cameras with a remote camera head. The other one was pretty much just a stationary camera. And so whenever we had to reload or put a new battery on, they would roll the camera to the door, you know, they'd open the door, we'd go over, reload, put a new battery on, and then wipe it clean, you know, with sanitary wipes, and then they'd take the camera back into the house.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about this program, seeing the clips, is that the cinematography is very fluid. It doesn't have the herky-jerkiness or the sort of strobe-like or unusual crazy effects sometimes that when you see a Zoom video shot, blurriness or strobe type effect, or the freeze frame, if you will, that you sometimes get with Zoom video type presentations. It's very fluid, and I also got a sense that the actors did a little improvisation with some scenes.
Yeah, they did. First of all, the cameras that we used were professional cameras that we used on Good Trouble as well. You know, they're the red camera, so they're 100% professional cameras, so that's why you don't see any, you know, it's not a Zoom. And even the Zoom calls, you know, that there are a couple of characters who are just on Zoom calls. Those were shot with iPods, with iPhones, sorry. So, and which have also really good resolution. I'm sorry, what was the second question? Second part of that question?
The second question is, did the actors get a chance to improvise at some of their scenes?
Yes. Yes, they did some of it, especially on the Zoom calls. There's a scene between Tommy Dorfman and Dustin Gervais, Jordan Gervais, where I said to them, and it's actually just a Zoom call. I said, why don't you guys just sort of improvise, get into it, and then roll into the scripted dialogue. And we ended up using quite a bit of the improv.
Mm-hmm. Our friend DreamKiller06 in our chat room, who's posed a question to our first guest, has some questions for you, Joanne. And one of them is dealing with Leslie Odom Jr., who, of course, made the big splash in Hamilton. Hamilton, of course, made the big splash on Disney Plus not so long ago to sensational reviews. DreamKiller wanted to know if Leslie's role in Hamilton and that big boom of dropping on Disney Plus, did that make him a prime candidate to be part of this?
Well, we already cast him before Hamilton dropped on Disney Channel, but it certainly was great for us because everything was so, you know, Hamilton was so well received, and it's great to have that, you know, that sort of spotlight on Leslie so deservedly for his amazing performance in that show for 2 years that he was in it, and then bring that to Good Trouble. I mean, to Love in the Time of Corona was wonderful for us.
Mm-hmm. One other question that our chat room friend had was, what kind of a budget did you work with? And how did it compare? Because you've done series, Fosters, Good Trouble, Hope and Faith, etc. I know you've done miniseries before. If you have, is there any comparison in terms of the budget you had to work with?
No comparison whatsoever. We had a very, very low budget. Our budget was probably an eighth or less of, you know, maybe a sixth. I don't know. An eighth is less than a sixth of what our budgets per episode are on Good Trouble. you know, they didn't have a lot of money. Obviously, it's hard to go to the network and say, hey, we're all in shutdown, and, you know, I know that you're bleeding money. We want more money to make a show. So we really made it on a very low budget comparatively.
Jim Coe's got some more questions. There's a big one I will save for a little later on. But first, I wanted to get into more about the plotting, the balance of the characters. Talk about the different situations that the characters deal with, and how important was it for you that certain things got emphasized, you and your writing team, that certain things got emphasized, certain messages were seen loud and clear?
Well, I think that, you know, what was important is to tell a story about people and relationships that would be truly relatable and that, you know, you could get invested in, and stories that you could tell while being at home. We couldn't go on any kind of locations, obviously. So what are the dynamics of these characters at home that would be interesting to tell? And, you know, for one story, like my father is in a nursing home and has been during this whole time. So I haven't been able to see my father. And that was something that I know a lot of people have been going through, as well as, you know, not seeing your older parents because you're afraid of infecting them and staying away from them. So that was something, you know, that I really wanted to explore. And just, you know, relationships, marriage, you know, what is it like when you're so busy that you're not really home together that much, and suddenly now you're home every day with nothing really to do but to examine your relationship? I thought that was really interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there is a semi-elderly couple, at least from the clips I saw, that has a major storyline.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the storyline I'm talking about, where one of them is in a nursing home and, you know, they can't see each other. They can't visit.
Mm-hmm. Is there an actor or actress that you never worked with before this that you brought in that this is somebody that we should all keep an eye on?
I have to say I really thought they were all amazing. I've never worked with any of these actors before, and you know, they're all amazing. I was really delighted by Tommy Dorfman and how wonderful they were in their role, and also Rainey Qualley, who is I'm forgetting her mother's name. Andy Dowell's daughter. I think Rainey's really wonderful, and I don't think people probably know her work. You know, so she's great.
Love in the Time of Corona. It's Freeform's new miniseries, and it comes your way this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night, both at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Joanna Johnson is the creator and executive producer. Many of you may know her work from the award-winning series The Fosters, starring an ABC Family, went to Freeform over the course of its 5-season run. And currently, she has the popular series on Freeform, Good Trouble. Joanna joins us live this half hour on Tawabi Talk Live. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. But anyway, stay tuned before the top of the hour. And before we leave you today, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our fifth winner in 7 weeks. So stay tuned. We'll pop the question. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win the best-selling book, Personality Not Included, by Rohit Bhargava, was followed by venture capitalist extraordinaire Guy Kawasaki. Jim Killer wants to know that if this miniseries works, would you be open or Freeform be open to doing a sequel or have it be, let's say, a miniseries of hour episodes?
You know, I don't know. We haven't talked about it. I certainly love these characters and would love to explore, you know, where they go from here. But, we haven't really discussed that. It's such a unique sort of moment in time for that show. So, you know, we'll see.
We, of course, are hearing that in Los Angeles, in New York, in Atlanta, in Vancouver, other parts of North America, TV production is coming back It's starting to move. Before you were in TV production, you were on The Bold and the Beautiful. That series is now back on CBS. It was one of the first series to get back in production in Los Angeles. Give us an update from where you are about how TV production is coming back and in terms of Freeform, whether Good Trouble is coming back to have to complete episodes, things like that.
Yes, we are planning to come back very soon. We're working on all the protocols that we want to meet and that we're required to meet, as well as going above and beyond that. Our biggest priority is that we come back to work safely and that no one gets sick and no one's at risk of getting sick, and especially our actors, who obviously are not going to be able to wear masks when they're in scenes. And so one thing we're doing is really limiting the number of people on set, and what we call that is the A zone. And so I think that a lot of shows are trying to come back in this fall. And, you know, now that we know more about the virus and how it's transmitted, we feel like we can get back to work and do it safely following all these protocols. But it's going to be a very different world. It's going to look very different than any production that we've done before, with much fewer people, a lot of social distancing, a lot of people working remotely who can. And, you know, but one thing we do in this business is we problem solve. I mean, that's what producing is. It's trying to figure out how to shoot something, where to shoot it, how to get the cast there. I mean, that's what we do. And so I think this business is poised to be flexible and willing to adjust as issues come up and solve these problems.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything, by the way, you learned in this miniseries that you didn't think about before in terms of dealing with pandemic or post-pandemic production that you're applying to the work you're doing in the future? And also, you mentioned Lauren Corral, who has been around for years and now with Freeform, but you also have a new president, Tara Wagner, who starred this month. What's it been like working with both of them?
Tara Duncan, you know, wonderful. I mean, you know, Tara and I have not been able to meet in person, but she's been incredibly supportive of this show and also Good Trouble. And Laura Correo is amazing. Lauren Correo. I mean, I love the team over there at Freeform. You know, they're just wonderful, and they're very courageous, and they've let us tell a lot of you know stories that some networks might be afraid to tell. So I love working with them. It's great.
And before you go, aside from Good Trouble, is there a new series in your pipeline?
Not at the moment. I have my hands full. I have 18 episodes of Good Trouble to shoot in this time of pandemic. So we got to get that done.
That's a great show, by the way. I'm thrilled it's now in a third season, and I hear it gets better and better every year. And you and your crew do a marvelous job putting that show together. It's really sensational.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Again, the miniseries is Love in the Time of Corona. It's Freeform's latest miniseries, first in a long while. It's a two-nighter, and it's all happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where Freeform is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details, let's follow online, www.freeform.com. That's www.freeform.com. Love in the Time of Corona, this Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Freeform. Joanna Johnson, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this unique project off the ground. Continued success with Good Trouble and hopefully much, much more from you down the road. It's been a delight having you back.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joanna. Take care. Congrats to you and the cast and crew, and all the very best to all of you.
Thank you. Bye.
Joanna Johnson, creative executive producer of Love in the Time of Corona, joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now, before we leave you with our classic trivia question of the week, if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the best-selling book, Personality Not Included, Why Companies Lose Their Authenticity and How Great Brands Get It Back, by Robert Bergala, forwarded by venture capitalist Guy Kawasaki. Here's the question that we've been posing for the last week and a half. Name the first or last television series starring Anthony Franciosa. From the mid-1960s to the mid-1980s, he did five television series. One of them was Search. One of them was The Name of the Game. But they weren't the first or the last, as people have suggested. So what were? Well, one of them, the first, was a comedy. The last one was a semi-anthology involving Aaron Spelling as executive producer. If you know the answer, either way, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win. Personality not included. If we don't get a winner by the end of the day, we'll post the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum is my Facebook site, and Twitter is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Again, a big thank you to Joanna Johnson and to Anthony Williams from FAM at the American Black Film Festival for joining us today on Tomorrow We Televise. Again, if you want to catch FAM virtually at the American Black Film Festival, go to www.abff.com. Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, our next episode, Sarah Goldfinger, the executive producer and showrunner of the Netflix hit Trinkets, going into its final season next week. And from the brand new Discovery Channel series 100 Days Wild that premieres on Friday night, executive producer is Julian Hobbs and Ellie Hakami. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed and make it very easy for you, just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, all of our episodes for this month and this year, they're all available in various places on podcasts. Go to iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and of course, iHeart.com on the iRadio Podcast Network. If you go to TuneIn.com or iHeartRadio's website, make sure you put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, then click it, and you get our episodes right then and there. Love to hear what you thought about our guests today and what they're up to, and what your thoughts for where TV is at and where it's going. Well, love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to emails in 24 hours, and of course, you can find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and also on LinkedIn, too, at Simon Applebaum. So Facebook is Simon Applebaum, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, at LinkedIn.com, and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate, by social media or email, we do respond quickly. Why? Because as we always say around here, what you say matters. Now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Annie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Solberg is head of content. And the co-founders of BTR are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For two free audiobooks, health and wellness material for limited time only, and great customer service and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televise. Makes a great gift for you or someone you know. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your midweek. We'll be back less than 48 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. On to a radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio podcast. If you like what you heard today, tell a friend and have them join you the next time we get together. And remember, whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and more than ever, let's lift this pandemic now and forever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.